It was mentioned, mark your book in number 945. We'll use that as a song of invitation, a song of encouragement following the lesson this morning. We bid you welcome first. Appreciate your time very, very much. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good. It's good to get together. The lesson comes from the story that was read to us this morning from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. One of the most familiar stories in the Bible, especially that phrase, there was no room for him in the inn. That's going to be our lesson this morning. Concerning the birth of Jesus, it was prophesied hundreds of years before the event took place. For example, in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, it reveals that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. He'd be born of the tribe of Judah. In Isaiah 7, verse 14, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You'll call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So these prophecies that were made about Jesus, hundreds and more, than these, the two I just read. But it says, by these different prophets, different places, different times, and they all came true. They're among the many proofs that Jesus was God's son. But with all of the foretelling of Jesus coming, and many or all of the prophecies coming true, Jesus was not always well received. Jesus wasn't always welcomed in his ministry and even in his birth. And it's those unwelcomed events in Jesus' life that gives us our lesson today. We're all familiar with the first one, no room in the inn. But as you see in your notes, we're going to see that during Jesus' ministry, again, he wasn't always welcomed. That's our lesson. So number one, from our text in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, I'm going to take the last part first. That familiar phrase, there was no room for him in the inn. That event at his birth sets the stage for what happened to Jesus in his ministry. Here's the background. Verse 1. Came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, or the King James says, all the world should be taxed. You see, in the Roman Empire, there was a periodical census that was taken place for a double purpose. One was to tax the people, but also for discovering those who were of military age. I remember when I was 18 years old, not long ago. Just like yesterday. Boy. But I had to register for the draft for military service. There was a draft when I was back in 1965. When I finished high school, I had to register for the draft. And so that's what's happening. And in verses 3 through 5, concerning Mary and Joseph, it says, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So each person went to their hometown or own city because that's where the records were kept. So one interesting account with this story is that Mary went with Joseph, made the journey. Joseph could have enrolled for her because she was expecting a child. But they both made the journey. It's about 80 miles from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. Not the best road conditions. Not a paved highway. There wasn't a fast food restaurant at the next crossroad. There wasn't a Holiday Inn Express, you know, for them to stop by if it got dark. No. But you see, God had a plan or had a hand in this providential journey. God wanted to get them at the right place at the right time. When the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Galatia, Galatians 4, verse 4, he said, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of woman." That's interesting. Because in verse 7, it says concerning Mary, she brought forth her firstborn son. John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only son." God gave an only son. Mary brought forth her firstborn son. Difference in words. God gave his only son. Mary brought forth firstborn son. See, Mary, after the birth of Jesus, was married to Joseph, and they had children together. So Jesus was Mary's firstborn, not her only son. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 53, Jesus is teaching, and the people that he's teaching to were in amazement at Jesus, and they kind of questioned him, and they said, "Wait a minute, isn't this the carpenter's son, Jesus? Isn't his mother Mary? And are not his brothers, and they're listed by name, aren't Jesus' brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Jude, and aren't his sisters with us?" So you see a difference in words. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Mary brought forth her firstborn son. She had other children, and their names are listed right here in the Bible. And then in verse 7, it says, "And then so when she brought forth their firstborn son, they laid him in a manger. There was no room for them in the inn." And that phrase, "no room for them," seemed to be a quality of life that Jesus experienced, not only here at his birth, but in his ministry. I remember a story about a family that was traveling. It was in some lonely parts of a road, and they came across a town, and all the motels that they had said, "No vacancy, no vacancy." They got to the end of town, the old sign says, "Your last motel for the next 60 miles. Oh, it's dark. We got to stop. It says no vacancy." But he went in anyway, talked to the motel, the clerk at the motel, and the motel said, "No, there's no vacancy. Everything is filled up in the city." And he pleaded and cried and no vacancy. And so the man thought for a moment. He said, "Now, if the President of the United States were here right now and asked for a room, you would find a room for him, wouldn't you?" He said, "Well, of course, if the President of the United States were here." He said, "Well, he's not coming. I'll take his room." There was no room for Jesus. No room. So they had to lay him in a manger. So that was the start. Right at his birth, no room. But second, Jesus is approaching probably, he's less than 2 years old. And now there's no room for Jesus in the thinking of King Herod. It's in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "Now when they," the wise men, "had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He said, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt.'" Run to Egypt. "Stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." there is gonna kill all the baby boys, 2 years old and younger, because he thought that this Jesus was going to be his rival. Because the prophecy was he would be king. There it all. So when he, meaning Joseph, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I've called my son. Then in verse 19 of that same chapter, Matthew chapter 2, Herod dies. And so in a dream, now the angel tells Joseph that you can come out of Egypt. And in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 2, says he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So King Herod said, I don't want this Jesus to be born. I don't need a rival king, someone being raised up. So the prophet said, or the angel said, Joseph, you need to run to Egypt till Herod dies. Herod died, and then the angel said, Joseph, you can come out. Come out. Now they were going to Jerusalem, but Herod's son, Archelaus, was king, and he was going to have the same situation. Let's kill all the baby boys that are 2 years old and younger. So Joseph and Mary, instead of going back to Jerusalem or Bethlehem, they went to Nazareth, their hometown or their home country, their home city. And so he's called many times a Nazarene, Jesus is, because of the country where his family was. So now in Luke chapter 3 and verse 23, Jesus begins his ministry at about the age of 30. We don't know the Bible story, anything about Jesus' upbringing or things like that, from the age of 2 till the age of 12, when he was in the, they went to Jerusalem and Jesus confounded the elders in the temple. And then when he was 12 years old at the time, then they go back to Nazareth after that. And so for the next 18 years, we don't know any, the Bible doesn't tell us anything about the life of Jesus until he's introduced here in Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Now, Jesus began his ministry at about the age of 30. So we don't know anything about the biblically, anything about Jesus from the age of 2 to 12 and from 12 to 30. It's interesting. But Herod didn't have any room for Jesus. He wants to kill him. And then the story continues. Number 3, there was no room for Jesus in Galilee. That's his home country. That's where he was raised. Matthew 13, verse 54, it says, he came, when he had come to his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, so that they were astonished, and they said, where did this man get his wisdom? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Jude, and his sisters, aren't they all with us? Well, they were offended at him. Jesus said to him, to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and his own house. So he did not do mighty works there because of their unbelief. So the Bible says, you know, in John chapter 1, verse 11, the story continues, Jesus came to his own. Back to his own country when he began his ministry. And his own did not receive him. His countrymen, the synagogue attendees, they didn't make room for Jesus. Jesus said, no, I have honor everywhere, except in my own country, my own home. It's interesting, too, in John chapter 7, verse 3, his brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go to Judea. Why don't you go south 80 miles? Get out of Nazareth. And in verse 7, it says, for even his brothers did not believe him. No room for Jesus in your own country? Your own homeland? No room. They didn't appreciate what he said. They were offended at his message. So no room in the inn? No room by Herod's estimation? And now no room in your own country, your homeland? Number four, there's no room for Jesus among many of his disciples. That's interesting. Here's a group of people that followed Jesus, listened to his teaching, saw his miracles, heard him pray. It's in John chapter 6, verse 66. From that time, Jesus is preaching, and he said some hard things, according to them. So from that time, many of his disciples went back. Jesus, your disciples are going to leave you, some of them. Many of his disciples went back, walked with him no more. So Jesus said to the 12, "Well, do you also want to go away?" Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we've come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God." Wow. Many of your disciples, Jesus, didn't have room for you. In other words, they said, "Jesus, we don't like what you're preaching. We don't agree with your theology. So we're going to leave. We're going to walk no more with you. We followed you long enough." In John chapter 8, verse 30, says, "And he," meaning Jesus, "spoke these words. Many believed on him. But then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, 'If you abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed.'" Oh, so Jesus laid down the conditions of discipleship. If you believe, yeah, hold on, count me in. Oh, but you have to continue in my word. You have to do what I say. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord and do not the things I say?" Why do you do that? Now, you see, there's no room for Jesus now among those who claim to be disciples. "Well, Jesus, we believe, but we don't want to do what you say." Oh, no room for the king. No room for Jesus. Number five, in your notes, there was no room for Jesus among some religious groups. All religious groups should be in. Not a problem there. They're religious groups. Again, that verse in Luke 6, verse 46. "Why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say?" So here was somebody, Jesus would say, "You're calling me Lord, but you don't want to do what I say. You don't have room for my message. We have room for you, but not for your teaching." Oh, no room for Jesus. In Luke chapter 19, verse 47, it says, "He was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests," the priests, "and the high priests," the chief priests, "and the scribes and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him." Oh, Jesus, there's no room for you among some religious people. In John chapter 12, verse 42, it says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed on him." Oh, that's good. Uh-oh. "But because of the Pharisees, they didn't confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." Oh, yeah, we believe. But it's not popular. We don't have room for you, Jesus. Among the rulers, many believed, but because of the Pharisees, they wouldn't confess Jesus. No room. No room for King Jesus. In Matthew chapter 15, beginning of verse 1, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem," scribes and Pharisees, religious people, "came to Jesus. Jesus said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?'" Wait, these are religious people. Aren't they okay? Not by Jesus' standard. He said, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God?" He says that to the religious leaders. See, not every religion is acceptable to God. just because someone is religious and says something religious? Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? They would rather keep their tradition than the commandment of God. In verse 9 of that same chapter, Matthew 15, Jesus said to them, "In vain do you worship me." People are giving Jesus worship. But Jesus says it's not productive. It's not accomplishing what you think it should. In vain do you, the words of Jesus, "In vain do you worship me, you worshipers, in vain, you're worshiping in vain, because you teach your doctrine as a commandment." So Jesus says there's no room for me, even among religious circles, because they don't do what he says, his way. The last one, number 6 in your notes, there's no room for Jesus in many personal lives and homes. In Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek first." That's a priority, isn't it? First. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Oh, yeah. But Jesus says, "I want first place." Jesus said, "Will you make room for me? Will you put me in first place?" Jesus is not taking anything good away from our life. He just wants us to seek God first. The Bible only asks us to leave those things that would hurt or harm us mentally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually. Those are the things God said don't do. I want you to leave those things alone because they'll hurt us. But people crowd Jesus out. They don't have room for Jesus. They say, "Jesus, I'll give you the leftovers." Jesus says, no, I want you to seek me first. We have an expression, "first things first." Yeah. I want you to make room for Jesus in your life, in our lesson this morning. I want you to make room for a king. King Jesus. Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 1, "If then you were raised with Christ," all right, that's me, "help me in, then seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Set your mind or your affections on things above." First things first. Don't let other things crowd Jesus out. The whole lesson began. There was no room for him to begin. That's the way it is many times in people's lives. There's still not room for Jesus. Not room for him. Now, when you look at these illustrations, you might say to the innkeeper, "What were you thinking? You're not going to make room for baby Jesus?" No. You'd say to Herod, "How could you kill baby boys 2 years old and younger? How could you do that?" You're not going to make room for Jesus. You say to Jesus' countrymen, to his family, "Don't do that. It's your brother. It's family. Hometown. And you're going to ask him to leave? Why don't you go 80 miles south to Jerusalem?" That's what they said. You look at his disciples. "Wait a minute. You have firsthand information. You saw him pray. You heard his teaching. You saw the miracles. Why are you leaving?" Well, make room for Jesus. Here's the people that are claimed to be religious, but they didn't respect the authority of Jesus. But you're religious. And Jesus said, "I have all the authority in heaven and on earth." Oh, but we want to do it our way. This is what's popular right now. This is the current fad. Jesus says, "Oh, no, make room for me. I want you to worship the way I describe. I want you to come to me the way I describe. Make room for me." That's the lesson. We see the foolishness, I hope, in these illustrations. I don't want to be that foolish. I want to make room for it here. It begins with your decision to become a Christian. And that's the invitation we extend. I want you to make room for Jesus. If you have not been baptized for remission of sins, you have that opportunity. Make room for a king. Get in first place. When Jesus, before he ascended back to the Father, gave what we call a great commission. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, he told his disciples, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to everybody. He that believes, oh, that's good, and is baptized, shall be saved. Don't be satisfied with mere belief. Make room for a king. Do all that he says. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, the closing verses, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all the nations. How is he going to make disciples? So Jesus tells them, make disciples of all the nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the invitation we extend. Whosoever will may come. It's open. It's for everybody, to all creation. So let's stand and sing this invitation song. Song of encouragement, song of exhortation. If you need to respond in a public way, just simply let that request be known at the close of this song. It's not